And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Overdose deaths have increased more than 70% in Alaska last year. The state's health department says that's because of the highly toxic synthetic opioid fentanyl. It's been found mixed with heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine. In a press conference today, Governor Mike Dunleavy said the problem is only intensifying. The state's drug task force seized twice as much fentanyl in the last 3 months than they did in all of last year.
It's incredibly deadly. I repeat, it's incredibly deadly in incredibly small doses. Parents, your kids, and all Alaskans must understand this poison, and that's what it is in our state in many different forms.
He said he will work with the state legislature to increase the punishment for drug trafficking and told drug dealers they're in for a, quote, rude awakening. Dr. Tom Quimby, directs the emergency department at Mat-Su Regional Medical Center, a region hard hit by overdoses.
What I see happening every day in our emergency department is that this problem knows no bounds. It crosses all levels of our society. I see people in all socioeconomic classes, all ages, all religions, all races, living in all geographic regions, in all political parties, who are affected by this.
Sandy Snodgrass's 22-year-old son died of a drug overdose last fall. She said she would do everything in her power to spare another parent from surviving the death of a child.
It's too late to save my child. And there are many parents that I know personally in this room that it's too late to save their children. But they're here today to save your children. Please help us carry Narcan. Talk to your children tonight about fentanyl.
Narcan is a brand of the overdose-reversing drug naloxone. The state just received 11,000 more doses that it will give away for free in kits that include fentanyl test strips. Medication-assisted treatment is also available in Alaska to help people quit using opioids. Nearly 250 Alaskans died of drug overdoses last year. 6 of every 10 drug overdoses in Alaska involve fentanyl. Arguido residents willing to exempt food from sales tax if the sales tax rate goes up to 6% in the summer. It's currently 5% year-round. Some versions of that question is likely to be on the municipal election ballot in October. After weeks of discussion, the Juneau Assembly on Monday asked city staff to draft an ordinance to pose that ballot question. Assembly member Greg Smith made the motion, which passed without objection. The full assembly still has to hold a public hearing and vote on that ordinance at a later meeting. City Finance Director Jeff Rogers also shared an updated projection of the financial impacts of the changes. He estimated that the average Juneau household would have a net savings of about $143 a year, while the average summer visitor would spend about $1 extra. The city's revenue would be down $400,000 a year. Mayor Beth Weldon had some reservations.
You know, Mr. Rogers put it out that it's $143 savings per household. So I don't see it as a huge savings, but for food and most of those folks that we're trying to help probably are getting help elsewhere with SNAP and those kind of things. But I guess we won't know what everybody else's viewpoint is until we set it to the voters. So I guess we have to set it to the voters.
The Greater Juneau Chamber of Commerce surveyed its members in March about various sales tax scenarios. The combination of a seasonal sales tax and a food exemption was unpopular. Weldon says she expects more discussions as the ordinance moves forward. To get a question on the October ballot, the Assembly must pass an ordinance by August 4th. Juneau has a history of fast food franchises coming and going, but the disappearance of the city's Taco Bell about 20 years ago left a lot of rumors in its wake. Lots of people who were here then or have moved to Juneau since want to know what happened. As part of KTOO's Curious Juneau project, Bridget Dowd set out to find the answer.
In the late 90s, Juneau had two Taco Bells, but by the early 2000s, they were both gone. When I asked the Juneau Community Collective Facebook group for leads on what happened, I got more than 160 comments, ranging from employees were selling drugs to wasn't it hepatitis? Clearly, people have a lot of ideas about what led to the restaurant's demise, But former employee Jennifer Solano says most of them aren't true.
You know, every business, they're going to have drama and rumors and this and that. But to be honest, Taco Bell was a good, wholesome place to work. And they taught me enough that I've been able to raise a family, continuing my career managing fast food restaurants.
Solano runs a Subway in Anchorage now, but she started working for Taco Bell in Juneau as a teenager. In the mid-90s, it sat where the Asiana Garden restaurant is now, across from Super Bear.
We were having repeated problems with our freight coming in with the shipments. We would have to throw away sour cream, cheeses, lettuce, tomatoes. They were coming in continuously frozen when they were only supposed to be refrigerated, and we were having to waste a lot of money.
Solano eventually became an assistant manager. She says getting quality produce from the lower 48 was just one of many problems.
Everything in the building was just kind of crumbling and falling apart. There were so many times that the grease trap had to be redone because the pipes underneath all the flooring were so old and brittle that they were actually collapsing.
Plumbers were called in to try to fix the issue at night, which meant workers the next morning were walking on temporary floorboards.
Because it's not an overnight project. So then we tried to keep staffing at minimal so that nobody was running into each other or getting hurt.
Eventually, it became a cycle. A pipe would be fixed, the flooring would go back in, and another pipe would collapse. The Valley Taco Bell also went through several different managers. Solano says she often picked up the slack when one of them was attending meetings in Anchorage. And at one point, someone at corporate decided to add a Baskin-Robbins ice cream counter to the mix.
They would expect, you know, somebody that's making burritos to go over and make a frappuccino. You know, you got to make cakes out of ice cream and you got to be able to decorate them. And, you know, trying to run a Taco Bell side and trying to make cakes was pretty rough for me.
Repairs became so expensive that the owners started looking for a new building to move to.
But there was no good place in Juneau at the time, you know, 18, 20 years ago, to put a fast food restaurant with a drive-through in it. So they decided that they were going to cut their losses and just go ahead and close the doors.
Some workers didn't even have advance notice that the restaurant was closing. They showed up the next day to a note on the door and were told to pick up their compensation checks. The Valley location was the last Taco Bell to exist in Juneau, but at one point, the city had two Taco Bells. There was a smaller express restaurant downtown. It shared a space with Subway in a building where Sea Alaska Heritage now sits. Charles McHenry started there in 1987 and worked his way up to general manager.
Taco Bell was doing a competition called the Golden Bell. They had started it, and we managed to take that store to number 7 in the nation for quality and service out of 1,500 franchise stores.
But the downtown restaurant wasn't very profitable. It closed in the summer of 1999 when the corporate office decided to focus its efforts on the Valley location. McHenry was transferred there as a shift manager to try to improve the service.
The gentleman running the store insisted that no one listened to me because it was his store and he would teach them his way, not necessarily the Taco Bell way. Didn't care about quality or service. It was all about his bottom line, even if it meant not being honest about some of the numbers.
Eventually, McHenry quit because of that manager, but he says his experience wasn't all bad.
I loved working in this community. We had great people. It was a fantastic product. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed working for Taco Bell itself, but it could only take so much.
Now, if you're like me and still craving a Crunchwrap Supreme, your best bet is served at the Lemon Creek Breeze Inn. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
If you have questions about Alaska's capital city, visit ktoo.org/curiousjuneau to submit them. And in other news, after sewage is treated in Juneau, there's a byproduct left behind known as biosolids. And the city and borough of Juneau pays about $1.4 million a year to ship containers full of it to a landfill in Oregon. City officials say that buying new equipment to crush these biosolids down before shipping them could slash that bill by 2/3. Denise Koch is with the city's Engineering and Public Works Department. She says the city pays for shipping per container and that costs have been going up.
We really need to, I use the technical term, pack it in. We really want to get more volume into each connex because it's so expensive to ship those connexes.
Juneau Assembly member Wade Bryson put it like this.
We're shipping a lot of air down south.
Koch's department is asking the Juneau Assembly to spend $2.5 million of wastewater user fees to buy a crusher. She estimates it would pay for itself in about 2.5 years. And on Monday, the Assembly's Public Works and Facilities Committee gave the concept 2 thumbs up. The full Assembly must hold a public hearing and vote on the ordinance to authorize the spending. This is KTOO.